You're listening to Have Mike Will Travel with Elizabeth Santry.
Hi, welcome to the show. This episode was recorded in Brooklyn, New York. I took the bus from Philadelphia to New York and went to go meet up with Brian Panetta. He is a lifestyle and travel photographer. I had the good fortune of going to undergraduate school with him, and I've been able to watch pretty closely his career develop. He's always had a sense of what he wanted, and I was dying to ask him some of these questions about the choices he's made and the twists and turns of his career. He invited me to his home, this really lovely two-bedroom apartment. It's about two blocks from Pratt, and it's in a basement, which used to be a textile factory. It was really nice to be able to catch up, but also ask him some questions that I actually never took advantage of throughout our friendship. I hope you enjoy.
Thanks so much for inviting me here, Brian. I really, really like your, I like your apartment. It's really cool.
Thanks for having me on your show.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. So we have been, we went to school together, so I do know a portion of your journey to New York City. Right. I know that at some point it was via Philadelphia, but tell me about the trip, you know, your trip, your life trip to New York.
I grew up about 40 minutes north of the city, you know, Rockland County. And, you know, as I was finishing high school, I'm like, oh, yeah, I want to go art school. I want to be a photographer. And at that time, I knew that, well, New York is where you be to become a photographer in the States. You know, that's like the capital. So I knew once I moved to New York, went to school here, I'd be staying here for, you know, a large portion of my life. So I picked an art school. It was in Philadelphia. I was like, yeah, let's do it because I want to be out of New York.
Oh, so it was a really conscious decision to sort of postpone the inevitable.
Absolutely. Wow. Absolutely. I remember I applied to SVA and they're like, yeah, come. We want you. And I was like, oh, cool. Then I was like, wait. I know I'm going to be in New York. And I wanted to see, I've only known New York before that, so I wanted to see something else. So I ended up going to school in Philadelphia and I loved it.
Wow, yeah, that's so interesting. Excellent. I didn't know that, which I'm going to bookmark that and bring something up about that later. So from Philadelphia, where was next?
So after graduation, by then, I you know, the first 2 years of college, I was just effing around. I was having fun. I was figuring out what I'm doing, who I am. Then towards the second and third year, I was like, I'm going to be a photographer, and I got serious about it. You know, that's all I wanted to do.
Yes. That's what I wanted to bookmark and talk later about. Just you knowing. There was something about you just knowing
right before,
I think, the rest of us in a really cool way. And so I want to break that down after you kind of describe your trip to New York.
So after Philadelphia, I wanted to be a photographer, but I wasn't quite ready to commit myself to New York. So what happened? My senior year of college, I was shooting for a cheerleading company based in Florida, and they would send me every weekend to a different city in the States. And I would, you know, I was a 21-year-old, 22-year-old. I had big dreadlocks. I had a piercing. What's this called?
I don't remember. The one
between
right
the lips. Yeah, between lips and chin. I had a big piercing there.
I remember. God,
and I'd go to these cheerleading competitions, and these girls were, you know, they were like 4 years old to like high school, college, and they're like, who are you? And I was like, hey, everyone line up here, I'm gonna take your picture, blah blah blah. They're like, hey, cool. So I got sent around the country to do that. One time I went to California to do it, and I was like, this place is effing amazing.
Yeah.
So as soon as I graduated, I packed a car with a friend and just drove out to San Francisco. It took me like after graduation, like 5-6 weeks later, I was just like, yeah, let's do it.
Now, I remember visiting you, and I mean, if you want to tell it quickly, I remember it being a really wild story that it was actually, I love talking to people about process and how things get achieved, because in real life, things are usually awkward and difficult, and I think it's really cool when people are honest about how things really went about. But from what I remember, your getting an apartment was like super easy, and you just met people, and you were playing pool one night, and before you knew it, you had an apartment.
Okay, I could be very honest about that.
But that's actually like an easy honest. Like, no one wants to hear you having such a great time. People want to hear the misery.
No, but that's pretty much what happened. I ended up at a bar my first night with my friend who I drove out with and one of his friends. We met some people the next morning, and the next morning my friend's like, hey, do you need an apartment still? I'm like, yeah, of course I need an apartment. Why? And they showed me this, like, sick apartment in on Haight Street between Ashbury and Clayton, which is, you know, down the street from that famous corner, Haight and Ashbury.
Yeah, yeah. You could see it out the window.
Yeah, yeah. And I stayed there for 2 years and had, like, had the best time there.
So what was the kind of moment where you realized it was time to go?
I was just done.
You were done.
Yeah, yeah. I was done. And, yeah, at the time, New York was the place because you either lived in New York or L.A. at the time to be a photographer. Mm-hmm. If you live somewhere else, that's cool. You have to be really big or something. Now it's much easier to live anywhere in the U.S.
Because of the internet.
Because of the internet, and there's more resources to catch these other photographers. Budgets are a little lower, so creatives, agencies, magazines, they're more willing. But also, there's so much talent out there.
Oh.
And there's so much talent out there, and it's great.
That's cool.
Anyway, so then at the time, I was like, all right, I need to be in New York, and that's, you know.
Okay, so it was almost sort of... Of the times, it was because of the times. Do you think that maybe you would have stayed if it were more digitally savvy time?
No, because I feel like just that point in my life personally, I was ready for something new. Okay. I like the West Coast. I love the West Coast, but in my life, I was just ready to move on, and New York seemed the most natural place for me to be at the time.
Okay, and so you're from New York State, but not New York City, and
right.
I like to ask people, this is an important sort of personal moment. When did New York City feel like home? Was there a moment?
Yeah.
You know, major cities have a lot of transplants, people coming in trying to break in. And New York is infamous for its break-in process. It's
right.
It's very difficult. So I'd like to know when that moment is. That's just like all of a sudden that warmth and comfort that you get when you know you're home.
So I at the time I was like flying out a lot, and even as assisting, I was flying out a lot, so I wasn't home too much, and I was traveling for like.
So it wasn't giving you the opportunity to.
No, not
get
really.
Cozy.
But you know, just like any place you live, when you're in a space and you're like, you have all these memories of like, oh, I remember I was at this restaurant, I was at this bar, and you feel that comfort. Then you know you're home. But like, put down my actual roots. Oh God, I can't remember when.
You can't remember?
No, but it's definitely, I'm definitely rooted here
but
now.
But if you had to just clump up some time, like years, a few weeks, a few months?
Probably, it took me like a good year.
They say it's about average. It takes at least like 9+ months to get situated into a new city.
Yeah, but, and at that point, it took me a year, because then after that, I was assisting all the time, so I was always working. At the time, you know, there's just a lot of photo parties that I was going to.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so I was always out doing
something.
Oh,
which forced you to explore.
Yeah, then just, you know, naturally becomes your home.
Yeah. So what I wanted to talk about before was, I had sort of bookmarked, is
right.
I have the good fortune of knowing you personally and being able to have watched you in school. There was, like you said, you said you made a switch. You knew something I almost feel like the rest of us didn't know, because you were taking professional gigs while we were in school at a time and in a way where you were just so much more serious about it than, you know, we were still, I mean, it took me years to get my head out of
right.
my ass. You know, I just think it's just a typical 20-something thing. But you seem so much more focused. As a how always have you been? Do you know what I mean?
No, oh God,
where
no.
did that come from?
You know what happened? I did... So you do your freshman year of college, you're doing foundation, whatever. Then what happened was foundation, I went to school, I wanted to be a photographer. Then you take the foundation courses. I've never really been exposed to like painting and ceramics.
Fine art.
Yeah, I've never been exposed to that as like in school before. And all of a sudden you're forced to do that. And my God, that interests me so much. And I was playing in a band at the time, and it was time to go back to school for sophomore year, and I was like, God, I'm really passionate about this band I'm playing in. I'm going to take a year off and see where this goes. And my parents were like, what? I'm like, yeah. They're like, okay, sure. They're really accepting of that.
Oh, that's cool.
So I took a year off. I worked at a health food grocery store during the day. I'd practice in my band, Every night we would practice, five days a week we'd practice.
And how old were you?
I was 18 at the time.
So this was a gap year between college?
No, by then I already finished the year of college.
Oh, okay.
Then I left college, played with a band, didn't work out, which was fine. Then I went back to school, and I was like, I'm not sure I want to go into photography. So I tried my hand at multimedia. So I was like, oh, music, design, photography all together? Yeah, that sounds great. But then I at that point, I was like, I took the classes. I'm like, Jesus, I don't know anything about computers. Because it was like Photoshop, Illustrator, and the guy was showing us. I'm like, when am I ever going to use Photoshop?
But this was also, to put context to your story, this
right.
is also a time where the world still didn't fully understand what was capable of the web. I mean, I remember there were courses where you did anything that was associated with the internet or a computer was a course. Nowadays, that's segmented in about 19 different disciplines.
Right.
It was just a time where what I'm trying to say is I sympathize with that, like, I don't know, because it was all or nothing. You either knew how to code and be a complete computer person, or you just every once in a while went on Napster. Do you know what
right,
I mean?
Right,
it was a different time.
No, yeah, and you know, I remember one of the instructors would show me Photoshop, and at the time, everyone was still shooting film. Digital wasn't really a thing of the industry yet. Like, a few people had the cameras, like, they would have a Kodak digital camera, and they're like, yeah, I just dropped $15,000 on this. At the time, I'm in college, I was like, that's $1 million, are you kidding me?
Right.
So Photoshop to me was foreign, so after 6 months of multimedia, I'm like, yeah, it was cool, but now I know after, you know, I was playing in a band that didn't work out, I was trying multimedia, that didn't work out, but I still wanted to do photography, and by then I was like, Jesus, I really, really want to do photography.
Yeah, okay.
And I think that's sort of where it started.
Well, there's an expression, it's called, sometimes you get to heaven by backing your way out of hell. Meaning, sometimes you identify what you don't want to
right.
help you figure out what you do want.
No, yeah, it was definitely like a mini journey right there. And at the time, I was still messing around. I wasn't taking things seriously, but that I feel like that was my first step.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I think back to it.
I mean, because you were definitely doing professional gigs when we were, the rest of us in the photo crew were goofing off. Just more of we were more exploring style and taste and things like that.
Well, I think that's what art school is. You mm-hmm. you figure out your way.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a sophomore, this is a funny story. When I was a sophomore, my girlfriend at the time came home at 4 or 5 in the morning and brought the bar with her. And I was sleeping, you know, getting, you know, for school. And she's like, hey, come down here. I got someone you want to meet. I'm like, all right. I met this guy, and he's like, yeah, I'm a photographer and an assistant. You want to work with me? I'm like, oh, hell yeah. So I started interning for him. Chuckles.
Oh, my gosh, it's so funny.
A guy named Chuckles in Philly. Awesome Filipino dude.
Yeah.
And he was my first, like, taste into, like, professional photography.
Mm-hmm.
And everything blew me away. I remember being so young, excited, and like eager about everything that has your professional photography.
So how did the transition from analog film go for you? When was the moment when you realized you couldn't keep going shooting film and you had to make the switch to digital?
So when I assisted photographers for about 3 to 4 years. In the 3 to 4 years, the first 3 years, it was everyone was shooting film or chrome still, medium
mm-hmm.
format.
Mm-hmm.
Then towards my fourth year, I started digital teching, and that wasn't really a job yet. It was like when it started to become a job. This was like, I don't know, like 10 years ago maybe.
Yeah.
And I started digital teching because more and more people were shooting digital, and they needed somebody who knew how to work the computer, and I had like basic training, just watching other digital tech people, but there's a need for it, so I'm like, yeah, I can do this.
Were you lying at the time? I want to know the truth. Because like, some people can do the whole, like, fake it if you can make it, whatever that expression is. Like,
right, right.
Are you a person that can just, like, fake it till you make it, or did you actually take some time of your own to figure out some of these skills? And you
no, might... I figured out some skills because I didn't want to look like an idiot when something went down. But at the same time, I was lucky. Like 99% of the time, nothing really major happened. There was one time I was working for a photographer. It was a big ad job for them. And I took the job and it was fine. And the machine kept on breaking down. And of course, I was a digital tech, so I was getting the grunt of it.
Mm.
And a week later, he found out like there was something wrong with the actual camera and the camera back connection that was failing. So like he's like, "I'm sorry, that had nothing to do with you."
How did that feel?
I was like, "Thank God, we never." I don't think he ever hired me again though.
I guess maybe because he was embarrassed.
Yeah, whatever it was, but yeah, it was fine.
So I want to know, you've been at this for a while. Like I said, I felt like you were a professional even in school. You know, I don't know about you, the moment you realized, like, photo was for you. I mean, I didn't stay with photo, but I remember very specifically, like, 14. I was 14 when I, like, had kind of made that sort of declaration. But as you transition, I like to ask people about their passion and how it's hard to make money off of your passion. Are you still in love with the same aspects of photography now that you were when you started?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
No, absolutely not.
So what were some of the aspects you used to be in love with? I'm curious, just sort of like that naive story of just what it was that got you going in the beginning.
So naive-wise, when I was a sophomore, like every other, I feel like every other photo student, I was like, I want to be a fashion photographer. And like, I was like, I'm going to do this. And when I got out of school, I started working for like a lot of portrait photographers who were shooting for like business magazines like Forbes, Business Week, Time. And I wasn't working in fashion at all. And I was like, huh, this is pretty interesting. I love working in like this sort of environment. Then when I came to New York, I started working for people who were shooting a lot of music and hip hop and rock stars. And all of a sudden I'm like, holy shit, this is fun. Like, this is where it's at. And then early in my career when I started out, I started out shooting a lot of music, a lot of like hip-hop musicians, a lot of NBA stars. That was fun. That was fun.
So I feel like picking up the idea that culture.
Right.
You like documenting culture in some way.
Yeah, and that didn't happen until kind of recently.
Really? But you've been traveling with work for, you even said even your cheerleading photography days had you traveling, because that's a major component of your profession.
Oh, wow. I actually never connected the dots between that, because back then I used to board the plane and I'd be in love. And then I started to, Sundays, I remember I'd be at the airport every Sunday. Then I fell in love with airports. And to this day, I love airports. I love going to different airports around the world, around the country. Earlier this year, I got an assignment and I had to shoot airports. And I was like, are you kidding me? This is like my dream job. This is what I've been...
That's so great.
So
yeah. I feel the same way about food stores. I don't know what it is, but some people think it's a mundane act or it's like stressful.
Right.
I'm not a fan of airports, but so I don't understand. They make me slightly nervous, but that's really cool. So it became, you actually love the process of traveling, literally.
Oh my goodness. When I get in a taxi, if I'm going out for an assignment and I'm flying somewhere, it starts in a taxi, I get in the car service, and you know, I'll talk to the guy for a little bit. Then once he's driving, going to the airport, then I put on my headphones, and I always listen. I have like certain songs I listen to, and I this is embarrassing. I get myself like really psyched up because it's a mental thing for me, because it's part of my ritual.
I love it.
I'm like, my wife will tell you I'm very habitual, and I like to. I have very processes that I like to...
Oh, well, that's great, because I like asking people specific, actually if they have habits. Some people don't realize they have habits, but I love that you're so self-aware.
No, completely. It's kind of ridiculous. And it's a bit superstitious.
Oh, okay, so that's where some of the source comes from, why you do it, because of it feels lucky or it feels like it needs to be steps.
Yeah. It's a little bit of luck, but it's definitely the steps. I like to have it where it prepares me for like the shoot or what's coming next, which is funny because when you're on the shoot, anything can happen.
Oh gosh.
You there's some clients, it's you're going to eat lunch at 8 11 a.m., you're going to shoot at 11:30, you're going to have coffee at 11:45. It's like that, but other shoots, it's just like, this year, I've had several clients, you know, they're like, all right, we want this, and the art director at the end, he's like, you know what, just do your thing. We trust what you do, and just do it. And
that's dream client.
No, it was. It's amazing to have somebody have that sort of faith in you and your work and what you do to just be have an assignment, just be like, just do what you do.
Yeah. Well, you had mentioned before about music and being in a band, and I didn't know if, because I like to ask people what they do when they're not working, because I think that how you spend your time not working actually helps nourish your mindset and your body, like, for how you work, meaning like how you decompress, how you disconnect, how you relax.
Right.
Do you still play music?
Yes. Yeah. Sometimes my buddies and I will rent a music studio, like in Brooklyn or in the city, and we'll rent it for like 3 hours and just go at it. We're terrible.
No,
we're good individual. We're good musicians individually, but together, it has its ups and downs. But it's not about that. It's about okay. The emotion, just like letting go, and it's great.
So you were starting to talk about how this dream client. I mean, I think it's really cool. You're describing the how it felt to have somebody just trust and have faith in you and trust what you do, which I feel like is a great segue into asking what you think, what defines success, or like what's a dream client, like what's an ideal work situation, you know, what feels like you're at the top of your game.
Right. Well, as far as like what defines success, mm-hmm. that's a It's funny because it's hard for me to talk about myself and be like, I'm a successful photographer. That's to me that's just awkward for me to say. But I can look at another person and be like, that's a successful photographer. That's okay. A successful musician, whatever.
Okay.
Like I can tell you when I've had successful shoots, but as an mm-hmm. overall career, I feel like for me personally, that's something I can talk about in hindsight. Like,
well, how about this? How about in projection for the future? What is a goal? What is a thing to ascertain? When I have this, it will feel good. It will feel successful.
See, I feel like, so I've been shooting professionally for about like 8 years. And, you know, I've had my good jobs. I've had my like amazing jobs, like big jobs. And, you know, going up to that big job, there's like this uphill, it's stress, excitement, you know, you have all these things going through your head. Then once you do it, it's all calm again until, like, the next project.
I see.
So then you start over again. So for me, there was never...
It's temporary.
Yeah, temporary until the next one. For me, there was never a point where I did a job and I was like, that's it, I made it. Like,
oh.
I'm done. No, it's never like that. For me, it's like, all right, I did this job. I finished this, like, assignment. What's the next one?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not about this one job you do that's gonna make or break you. It's like a, you know, body of work, your career. For me, that's what I think.
Mm-hmm. So I wanted to ask you about, and I'm only teasing,
yeah.
some of these stories of how you actually meet people and got things done. They almost sound easy, but I know life isn't easy. That's just ridiculous to assume. So I was wondering if there was ever a time where it just wasn't easy and it was just sort of either really frustrating or annoying or something just didn't go to plan, and what you did about it or how you felt about it.
Well, one thing that I could tell you that I feel like I've learned recently in like the past 3 years is no matter how big a project is, like enormous or a lot of steps, you really have to take it like one step at a time.
Mm-hmm.
I've had shoots that were I was sent away for a total of about 3 to 4 weeks for a client, and it was like it was a massive job. And I remember I was like freaking out the day before, but then I just remember like sitting down, like just take it one day at a time. Like I can't worry about what we're going to be shooting in like 2-3 weeks from now. I need to focus on like tomorrow's shoot and like what the subject is then. So just chip away at the big picture, because it's easy. It's really easy to get overwhelmed. And when you're overwhelmed, you're not really focusing on like you know, the big picture, mm-hmm. what you're trying to accomplish.
You know, what's funny about, it's part of the process of getting older, but I think it's, there's so much what people can call, like, cliche advice, but then all of a sudden, you're like, no, I'm serious. Take one step at a time.
No, yeah, yeah, it does sound cliche.
It just also sounds really simple, but, you know, I'm assuming you lived it enough times where you just go, I can't keep going like this.
You have to keep your cool. Because if you lose your head, nothing is going to, it's just not going to turn out the way you want it to. So for me, I'm learning to just stay cool, mm-hmm. take it a step at a time, mm-hmm. and you'll get to it.
So do you have, like, is there a mentorship experience or maybe just someone you looked up to professionally that kind of helped, you know, aspire, you know, or just remind you, like, oh, what would so-and-so do in this situation? Was there any of that, or were you making it up as you went along?
Yeah, well, you know, when you're assisting, you're I don't know. To me, I was always just like, you're watching, you're observing the photographer. You're, of course, you're like hauling ass for them and like lifting everything and doing everything. But at the same time, you're observing and see how they handle situations. So when back then, I remember I would see somebody like freak out at one of the other assistants or me or at the client, and you keep that in your memory bank. You're like, all right, well. Try not to do that ever, because that's not going to turn out.
And what's
well.
Great about that is that it's not on your skin like that, because I feel like there's like a bit of pain sometimes you have to experience to remember, like,
right.
to never do, but you to watch someone else go through and still benefit from the lesson, that's amazing.
Yeah, you definitely have to learn.
Well, I always like to give people an opportunity, because I think being present and staying present and what you're presently working on is really exciting. So, like, you know, if there's anything you want to talk about project-wise, like maybe in a perspective about photography or a work style that you're just really into right now that makes you motivated to get up every day?
So I do a lot of personal projects. And this all started when... So about 10 years ago, I took my... first like real trip out of the country, like a backpacking trip, you know, or not 10 years, whenever ago, when I was like 23. And I took my camera with me and, you know, I took a few pictures, came back home like, oh, that was cool. But then I'm like, God, geez, I really want to travel again. So then I started traveling more, like 2-3 times a year. And of course I'd bring my camera and I would start taking pictures. I'd be like, come back, like, oh, this was cool. And at some point, that turned from, oh, I want to take a trip, I'll bring my camera along, to, I'm taking a trip because I'm taking my camera, because I'm doing a project. And that's how it is now. When I take a trip, the only reason, 99% of the time, the only reason I'm taking a trip is to do a photo project of some
wow.
sort. Because, the reason I started doing all these photo projects, I was shooting a lot of still life and, like, portraits, and... You know, it was great. It was fun. I was working. I was making a living. But it just felt like every day I was doing it, which is good. But I needed a break from it. So I'd go away for like 4 to 6 weeks and, you know, have my camera, take pictures. And those pictures were like a release for me, you know?
Oh.
So that was like for like 3-4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, eventually like magazines would be like, hey, do you have an image of this? You have an image of this? Travel magazines would be buying stock and everything. Then 1 year I was in Sri Lanka in my hotel room, and an ad agency called me from New York City. And they're like, hey, can you be in New York next week? We got this project we want you to work on. We love your personal work. We want you to shoot it in that vein. And then that was the first time that my personal work was like, hey,
got you the job.
Yeah, do your personal work, and we're going to hire you for this commercial project.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, holy shit, this is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So I flew back to New York, of course, and did the job, and it was amazing. So, because I didn't feel like my work was commercially viable at the time.
Oh,
but.
I see. So it was almost validating in some way, affirming.
No, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, that snowballed. And, you know, it sounds weird, but my passion is kind of my work.
Right. That's the goal, I think, to marry the two. And is there anything, like, what's the next thing? Like, is there
well, so
a trip?
Is there a trip?
Well, I'm just curious, like, what's the next thing that's literally on your docket? Like, if you were to open up your schedule, it would be, I'm going to go do this next. I'm just curious what your next thing is.
I'm going to go to Bali. Oh,
have you been?
I've never been there before.
So jealous.
So, no, yeah, someone else said that, like, oh, you're going on a school vacation. I'm like, well, it's actually not a vacation.
Oh, I wasn't. Oh, for sure. Almost a bit dismissive. So I get that. Like, just call it a vacation. To be assumed that you're not accomplishing anything, there's no work to be done.
Right.
I'm just jealous because of the atmosphere. I've heard, you know, the folklore about how amazing the atmosphere of Bali can be. So I'm jealous in that regard. But no, if you've got work to do.
No, I'm doing a project out there, and
No, that's awesome. Well, I really appreciate your time. I think this was really fun for me catching up with you because we hadn't seen each other in a little while.
Absolutely.
So thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to show your support through comments and reviews.